Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, Text 11. The chapter is entitled, King Paranjana Goes to Hunt the Forest to Hunt. Tatakshutrit Parishranto Nivrito Griham Ehivan Kritasnano Chitahara Samvivesha Gataklama. Translation. After this, the king, very much fatigued, hungry, and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. After returning, he took a bath and had an appropriate dinner. Then he took rest and thus became freed from all restlessness. Please repeat. After this, the king, very much fatigued, hungry and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. After returning, he took a bath and had an appropriate dinner. Then he took rest and thus became freed from all restlessness. Purport. A materialistic person works throughout the whole week very, very hard. He is always asking, where is money, where is money? Then, at the end of the week, he wants to retire from these activities and go to some secluded place to rest. King Paranjana returned to his home because he was very much fatigued from hunting animals in the forest. In this way, his conscience came to stop him from committing further sinful activities and make him return home. In Bhagavad Gita, materialistic persons are described as duskritina, which indicates those who are always engaged in sinful activities. When a person comes to his senses and understands how he is engaging in sinful activities, he returns to his conscience, which is herein figuratively described as the palace. Generally, a materialistic person is infected by the modes of passion and ignorance. The results of passion and ignorance are lust and greed. However, when he comes to his senses, he wants to retire. According to Vedic civilization, such retirement is positively recommended, and this portion of life is called vanaprastha. Retirement is absolutely necessary for a materialist who wants to become free from the activities of a sinful life. King Paranjana coming home, taking bath, and having an appropriate dinner indicates that a materialistic person must retire from sinful activities and become purified by accepting a spiritual master and hearing from him about the values of life. If one would do this, he would feel completely refreshed, just as one feels after taking a bath. After receiving initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, one must abandon all kinds of sinful activities, namely illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating. The word uchitahara used in this verse is important. Uchita means appropriate. One must eat appropriately and not take after food as hogs take after stool. For a human being, there are eatables described in Bhagavad Gita 17.8 as sattvika dhara, or food in the mode of goodness. One should not indulge in eating food in the modes of passion and ignorance. This is called uchitahara, or appropriate eating. One who is always eating meat or drinking liquor, which is eating and drinking in passion and ignorance, must give these things up so that his real consciousness may be awakened. In this way, one may become peaceful and refreshed. If one is restless or fatigued, one cannot understand the science of God. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.20, evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavatattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Unless one can become free from the influence of passion and ignorance, he cannot be pacified. And without being pacified, one cannot understand the science of God. King Paranjana's returning home is indicative of man's returning to his original consciousness, known as Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is absolutely necessary for one who has committed a lot of sinful activities, especially killing animals or hunting in the forest. Omaginati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimati Shiva Ramaswami Niti Namane. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Tatakshatrit parishranto nivrito griham eivan kritasna no chitahara sam vivesha gataklama. After this, the king, very much fatigued, hungry, and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. After returning, he took a bath and had an appropriate dinner. Then he took rest and thus became freed from all restlessness. Hare Krishna. Could I borrow someone's watch, please? Oops. Is that right? Yes. Good. So, continuing with the story of Puranjana, it's an allegorical story. Sudevi very nicely described the place we are yesterday. So I'm going to do a few things. I only have 20 minutes, so let's see how far I get. May not get into all the details. So in this purport and verse, Prabhupada is describing the difficulties of life and its solutions, both materialistic and spiritual. So the materialistic problems and the spiritual solutions. But Prabhupada also mentions the material solutions people try and make for their problems. He also mentions the Duskritinas. It's a particular class of people who I'll also try and describe a little later on. And in contrast to that, Bhagavad Gita describes a Sukritina. So Duskritina means misguided people, materialistic people, and Sukritina means pious people. Actually, it means the pious. Yes, so that's basically what we're going to do. So there's these two kinds of people, materialistic and spiritual, right? I think we could say that we came from the materialistic class of people and are trying to become part of the spiritual class of people. We're very fortunate to have the guidance of Srila Prabhupada in this regard. It's unfortunate sometimes when people come to the temple and we talk about devotees and pure devotional service that, how to say this? There was one lady, I was in a class one time, and I was talking about devotees. I'll put it another way. And I was talking about pure devotional service, pure devotees, and the rest of us, which is non-pure devotees who are trying to become pure devotees. And she'd been coming for a while. She'd been coming for maybe 2-3 years. And she perked up and she said, "Oh, you mean you don't think that you're a pure devotee?" And I was like, "No, no, I don't." So somehow or other, we'd unfortunately managed to give this impression that we thought that we were pure devotees, that we were perfect, in other words. And of course, when people come to the temple and they see us and around, they experience our imperfections. So they meet people who say that they're pure devotees, but who behave in an imperfect way. So this can be a little bit confusing. So we need to understand these terms properly. Prabhupada, there's different definitions of what is a devotee. Basic definition of it, Lord Chaitanya gave a very simple definition of what is a devotee. And the simple definition is one who once chants the holy name of Lord Krishna is a devotee. So that's what makes a devotee. That's quite a generous definition, because they may be doing all kinds of other things. We were having this discussion last night. What's a devotee? And someone says you have to follow the principles, go to the full morning program, chant 16 rounds a day. I thought, woo, that's quite a high definition, considering how many people are interested in Krishna consciousness. So on one side, we want to be inclusive, to include everybody, but on the other side, we want to make sure that the perspective is clear. Like, where are we aiming for? What is the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement? If we get a little too comfortable being simple devotees, we just chant Hare Krishna and that makes us a devotee, but we don't do anything else, then that's where we're going to stay. And it's described in the scriptures that we can keep doing that for many, many millions of years. Actually, births, not even years. You can do that for, if we chant Hare Krishna offensively, we can do it for millions of births. And considering what's happening in the world these days, if you look at, if anyone reads the news, anyone want to stay here for the rest of Kali Yuga? You want to see what happens at the end of Kali Yuga, this present age? It's not pretty. It's not pretty now, right? We're lucky we're born in. But one time I was walking down the road, and a fighter jet, an army fighter jet went overhead. Whoosh! You know, they made this big noise. And I realized actually we're living in a very peaceful place, right? But there's these guys, they go to places like Iraq or Iran or, you know, Afghanistan. There are some places which are very unpeaceful, and if we were born there, I mean, Prabhupada says here, you can't practice Krishna consciousness if you're restless or hungry. So there's a lot of people in the world who are both restless and hungry. People are bombing them. They don't have anything to eat. So it's hard for them to practice Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada made this recommendation. He said, if you want to practice spiritual life, do it now. Don't wait. Because someone says, well, you know, I practice Krishna consciousness, I'll get a human birth in my next life, right? Somebody who eats prasadam, it guarantees them a human birth, right? But that could be in China. I mean, love them. Or it could be in Iraq. Or it could be in Afghanistan. And even the families that we were born into, I'm not my personal family. I mean, I'm adopted. It means my mother gave me up at birth. This is not a good start in life, frankly. So, you know, even, you know, born in England, middle-class family. Actually, I wasn't, they were middle-class. But she didn't have a husband. She wasn't supported by her parents. So, you know, this is not a good birth. It's not a safe position for a small person. So Prabhupada talks about this. He mentions, actually, in the verse, it's mentioned very simple disturbances. What to speak of war? But simple disturbances that everyone suffers. Fatigue, hunger, and thirst. So the king, he'd been working hard killing. Been in the forest. We all know how that is. working hard all day, all night, and to get some dead bodies to eat. And so that meant he was tired, so he went home and took some rest and ate appropriately. So Prabhupada says, he mentions materialistic people, they work hard for money. Right? Though these days I'm not sure how useful money is. If you look at the world economy nearly collapsed, I don't know if anyone noticed, but second half of last year, things started going really badly wrong in the global economy. Somehow they managed to pick it up and stop it from falling on its face. So that's not a bad thing, but working hard for money these days is not a very useful thing. So people work hard for money. They don't even know if they can spend it tomorrow. And but they work hard, and then they come home and they rest. So Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that we can't avoid work in order to maintain the body. It's not that hard work is a bad thing. In fact, hard work is a very useful thing because it keeps us busy. There's an English expression, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Idle means it's not doing anything, it's just sitting around, wasting time. So hard working is very good. Yeah, but if we work from the material energy, we'll be disappointed. Because the material energy takes no prisoners. Is that an expression? Like in war. She takes no prisoners. There's no one who survives in the material world. Right? Prabhupada says this is like a battlefield. Okay? So birth, death, old age, disease. Nobody avoids these. Taxes is another thing we can add to the list. You know, you can't avoid taxes. You can avoid some taxes, but not all taxes. So Maya takes no prisoners. So anything that we're accumulating in the material world, even the body that we've accumulated, we've managed to get something that we can walk around in and do things with. But even that will be taken away from us, right? So imagine somebody comes up to you and says, okay, take off your clothes, give me the key to your room, give me your money, out. Get out of here. And you just have to leave. You have no choice. And in the material, when we die, we don't even get to take the body with us, right? You get your mind and intelligence and false ego, and you just get kicked out. Actually, I shouldn't say you. I said that's. This is a sorry. This is a usage of English. Talk quieter, more slowly. Aha, sorry, Hare Krishna. Yes. So. Yeah. So we get kicked out of the body, and we actually don't know where we're going to go next. So I should use we instead of you because I'm included in this. I shouldn't. It's a linguistic problem. So we get kicked out of the body. And spiritual life, everyone's interested in how much is in their bank account. At least many people are. Especially if you've got bills to pay, right? You've got to pay the rent, electricity, all these different things. So how much money is in my bank account, or at least in my pocket? So Prabhupada says, Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Srila Prabhupada says that we should make deposits in our spiritual bank accounts, because a spiritual bank account you get to take with you. We get to take it with us. Right? Material bank accounts we don't keep. Right? We don't keep a materialistic bank account. But a spiritual bank account lasts forever. And no matter when we pick it up again, when we pick up spiritual life again, then we pick up at that place. So we were also having this discussion last night about why is it that some people, when they come to Krishna consciousness, it seems to take them a long time to get anywhere. And there's different reasons for that. Why is it that they can spend years sort of, you know, wondering about being vegetarian? You know, should I be vegetarian or not? Some of the other people, they walk in the building, you say you should be a vegetarian because otherwise you'll, you know, because of karma and reincarnation, they go like that, and then they immediately start practicing. You know, I know some people who just they walked in the temple and they didn't walk out. I mean, I don't think I could do such a thing, but I know people who did that, and you think, how on earth did they do that? It took me 4 months. You know, I was sitting there going, oh God, you know. But the same day, very special, these very special souls. So part of the explanation for this, or one explanation for this, is that in a previous life they were practicing Krishna consciousness. So they have something in their account, right? They can follow four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds a day. They did it in their last life, no problem. So this life, as soon as you say do this, whoop, there. So this is a wonderful thing. And no one should feel, we should never feel discouraged, because we can always start making deposits now. And Krishna's he's very kind. He's a nice banker. He's not like the bankers that they have here. The bankers they have here are just trying to figure out how to take your money away from you. We think they're protecting it for us. In fact, in some ways they are. They are protecting it, but they're trying to figure out how to get some of it for themselves. Anyway, we won't go into banking, but it's just a given fact. If you read your statements, you'll find the money goes down. It doesn't go up unless we put money in. So, I don't have much time. So Prabhupada talks about these two kinds of people, Duskritina and Sukritina, the pious and the impious. And in Bhagavad Gita, he gives quite a long explanation of these two kinds of people. So, when impious people are distressed or want money, or are inquisitive or searching after some kind of absolutes, they become atheistic. And that's actually interesting. The two, there's the pious and the impious, actually mirror images of each other. When an impious person is distressed, they can either take intoxication and forget about the whole thing, which the hippies did, or they can, you know, pick up their bag and go out and get some work and work hard, right? If a pious person is distressed, they go to Krishna. And they say, "My Lord, you know, what am I going to do? I have so many problems in my life. Please help me." So that's one mirror image. It's quite interesting looking at them. So of the somehow or other, we have the fortune of being fortune of somehow fitting into the pious category of people. I know one of the reasons that I came to Krishna consciousness was because I was distressed. I think it's probably the main reason I came to Krishna consciousness, because I was distressed. I had quite unpleasant experiences caused by my own stupidity. And when I met the devotees, I thought, finally something, some kind of a break, you know. These are some nice people, and they seem to have some kind of solutions. So this is one kind of person. Another kind of person who turns to Krishna when they're in need of something is those who desire wealth. That they want to be, their situation is comfortable, that they have what they need, but they want more. Right? We meet people like that. There's a kind of a greed. So if there's a pious person who has this kind of desire to have a lot in life, then they'll come to Krishna. So we have pious, impious. Now the problem in this age is that the piety and impiety, it's not that these are two different people. I'll try and explain what I mean. In previous ages, pious and impious people lived on different planets. So you have in the Bhagavatam, there's these stories about the sages and the nice people and the demons, the bad people, right? And they're two very different kinds of people, and they live in different places. And as the ages go on, so first they live on different planets, then they live on the same planet, then they live in the same city, the same family, and then they live in the same body. Right, so this is in Kali Yuga. We have the pious and impious in the same form. Makes us a bit schizophrenic, right? And we see that in our movement it happens that we have. Why do good people do bad things? Right? Why do good people do bad things? The reason good people who do bad things is because that we have both of these natures in our being. We have both. We're connected with both of these things. So if anyone's wondering why there are problems in the Hare Krishna movement, this is one of the reasons that we're actually struggling with this, this problem. So there is a solution, or there is hope that this can be overcome, but it's not easy. It takes some time. And Prabhupada mentions two of the demonic qualities, or the bad qualities that we tend to suffer from in the purport, is lust and greed. So if we find ourselves being lusty or greedy, we can understand this is the not so nice part of us that is there. Pride is also another one, which comes in with arrogance. If somebody tells us we've done something wrong, we get angry. How dare you? But this is this side of us. So how to find, or how to strengthen, the good side of us, the part of us that's a devotee, the part of us that's pious, kind, compassionate, truthful, self-controlled. To do that, the most Prabhupada, actually we're very fortunate, Prabhupada gave us a very nice solution to this problem if we can pay attention. Say simple for the simple. I'm not a simple person, so it's complicated for me. But the simple formula is chant Hare Krishna, because that purifies the heart, and take prasadam, also purifies the heart. And if we chant Hare Krishna, because it's the names of God and Krishna is all powerful, and we take his prasadam, which is also another form of Krishna, this is a mystical process, then the lust, greed, anger, bad things in our heart will go away and the good things will come up. So it's a little like gardening. You pull out the weeds, stamp on them, burn them, poison them, do whatever you can do to get rid of the weeds, and water the flowers. So we're gardeners in the garden of our heart. We are the gardeners. So it's our job to cultivate our garden and to make it a nice place where Krishna can come and have his pastimes. So it's a simple process, and something that can be done easily if we're willing to pay attention and to do the experiment. Some people say, well, how do you know it's true? How do you know this is true? It's like asking, what does an apple taste like? We say, well, you know, someone says, well, what does an apple taste like? I say, well, I have an apple, you know, here. Take the apple, and they go, no, you have to explain it first, that it's nice and it won't poison me and it's good for me. And it's like, well, just eat it and you'll see. Right? Could have two apples. I could take a bite of it and then say, you know. But unless we actually practice Krishna consciousness, we're not going to understand what Krishna consciousness is unless we take a bite and try it. This is one thing that really frustrates me about people. They say, you know, Krishna consciousness is fabulous. You'll feel good, really. Apart from not going to hell and becoming liberated, you know, it'll make you feel good. Even if it's not true, you know, your life will become unlimitedly better. This is my experience. But people are so hesitant, right? And that's actually the first impious person is called Muta or Duskritina, which means ass. I don't know, anyone's been to India, we don't have many donkeys around here. An ass is slightly, anyway, it's a donkey. So a donkey, if you want a donkey to do anything, they're very stubborn, right? So there's two ways of getting a donkey to do something. You put a carrot in front of their face so they have something to go towards, and you get a stick and you beat them on the backside. And even then they may not move, right? Because they're very, very stubborn. So many people, I can speak for myself that I'm also a very stubborn person. I also have these qualities. So many people we find they have these qualities. We say, here's prasadam, and they go, ooh, I'm not sure about that. And you're like, I mean, come on. how easy can it get? Can you just put it in your mouth and eat it? You know, this is spiritual. It's spiritual life that can be taken orally. You know, it's pizza. Some frites. I mean, and actually, that's one of the reasons we try and keep our menu in the restaurant simple. Some people find Indian food a little difficult, but prasadam is such a simple thing. Prabhupada was very keen on prasadam distribution because he knew the power of it. So even if there are 20 people, 20 people would come to the lecture, he had an apple. He offered the apple. He would cut it into 20 pieces and then distribute it, and he made sure every lecture everybody got a piece of prasadam. It's very important. Part of Krishna consciousness. Trying to get people who don't want to be devotees to be devotees is very difficult. It's a very difficult thing in this age. People are manda sumanda mataya manda bhagya, slow, misguided, unfortunate, and above all, always disturbed. People are very. It's a very disturbed age. If anyone's ever done book distribution, just trying to get someone to stop in the street, right? Just trying to get them to stop. Excuse me. I once spent one sankirtan, about 3 hours on sankirtan, going, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. Can you know how difficult it is to do that for 3 hours? Nobody stopped. I mean, I guess this was my a reflection of my heart. It was so difficult. Nobody would stop. And I think after a while, I started going, you're not going to stop, are you? And I tried, and they didn't. They just went straight past. So devotees who can do sankirtan nicely and get people to stop and to hear about Krishna, they're very special, very, very special souls. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. Because people's lives these days, the idea of the Industrial Revolution was that it would make people's lives easier. Do you remember that? We're in a different age now. Now is the age of disillusion. We have entered disillusion. Before there was hope, now there is disillusion because they tried it. They tried the Industrial Revolution, make everything, right? So, you know, digital watches. I'm now 5 minutes over time. So a digital watch, this was supposed to make our life easier so we wouldn't have to work so hard. Now people work harder than ever, isn't it? I mean, when I was a kid, I used to come home at 4 o'clock. My mother was there. You know, she'd be making dinner. She was cleaning the house, making dinner, getting things ready. There was a man could make enough money to support his family, and people were at home and like that. There was some kind of family life. These days, people don't have family life. They have TV life. They don't have family life. People come home by themselves. They eat by themselves. They watch TV by themselves. They go to bed. They get up. And then they go out to work, they go to school. So things are not getting better in the world, and we should take note of that. I should take note of that. We should take note of that. That we have some time now. We're sitting in a palace, and we have some time. So if we take advantage of this time, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, serve Krishna, and go back to Godhead. And it's actually such an easy process, and there's such a wonderful result. Ah, yeah, that was the point. So let's try the experiment. The scientists say, and they say there's nothing but matter, so let's prove that they're wrong. Well, at least try it. Right? At least try it. At least have a go. And there's nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose. Someone once asked Prabhupada, they said, what if you're wrong? What if there's no God? Krishna consciousness is complete rubbish, and we're all gonna. When we die, that's it, right? Purpose, it doesn't matter. We're having a nice life. What are you having? You know, people say they're gonna enjoy when they retire, right? And then they die. I know so many people. They retire, and they're you know, after a month, 2 months, they're dead. Isn't it? They did a horrible job their whole life. What's the point? What's the point? You could come and, you know, live in a place like this. So if you meet anyone who's a little unsure, they say, no problem, you come and live with us. All you have to do is follow 4 very simple regulative... Some people think this is easy, right? All you have to do is follow 4 very simple regulative principles. Vegetarian, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. You can come and live here. Do a few hours service. You don't have to drive to work. You don't have to shop. You don't have to cook. And see what it's like. This is a challenge. We're sending out, you know, some people like to fight. So we're sending out a challenge. Come and try this and see what happens. And people can try it for a short time. Usually it's a short time people live in a temple. And then they can go and live out in the world and practice Krishna consciousness there. So we can spread it out, right? Aryan's also doing this. He's living outside. Freddie also, you go home. Spread Krishna consciousness. Give it to people. Go to coffee shops, talk to people. Give them a Bhagavad Gita. Yes, you can do it. I know it's a scary idea. You will find someone who is nice. Someone found me. Right? One day I was walking down the street. I know I'm not that great, but anyway, something. So one day I was walking down the street minding my own business, and this Hare Krishna tapped me on the shoulder. I guess we all have this experience. And said, hey, you want a book? And I went, who are you? They do exist. These people do exist who are interested or who would be interested in Krishna consciousness. And all we have to do is find them. So I'm going to stop there. If anyone has any quick comments or questions, we can have a couple of minutes. Prabhu. Yes. It's the beginning of the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna talks about pure devotional service. If I can find it. Yeah, I mean, I don't... could read it. Krishna says he's very kind, and he knows that not everyone can do everything all at once. So he gives some possibilities. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence on me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. And then next verse, he says, if you cannot do that, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. This is a nice section, actually. You reminded me. I thought of it when I read the purport. Prabhupada says, and then Krishna says, if you can't do that, then just try to work for me. And he goes down. So he starts a pure devotional service, and he goes down. And so where does he go to? Yeah. So the final thing is, he says, if you can't be a pure devotee, then work for me. And if you can't do that, you know, or no, if you can't think of me always, practice Krishna consciousness. If you can't do that, work for me. If you can't do that, be pious. And then the final one is, if you can't take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. So maybe go to university or something like that. Well, if you can find a good university that actually teaches something. And then better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation one can attain peace of mind. So whatever place, wherever we happen to be, and this is like having a map. So in Krishna consciousness, the goal is to get out of the material world. We know where we want to go. But if you know anything about maps, that's not useful unless you know where you are. Right? Right? If I want to go to Paris, I have to know whether I'm north of Paris or south of Paris. Right? Because if I'm north of Paris, I go south. If I'm south of Paris, I go north. It's the opposite direction. Yeah? So we have to know where we are. So Bhagavad Gita is a very useful book. If we read it, we'll find out where we are. Are we lusty? Are we greedy? What do we like to eat? Right? There's food in mode of passion, ignorance, and goodness. So if we like things that are in the mode of goodness, then it means we're going in the right direction. If we like things that are in the mode of ignorance, right, then we need to get ourselves into passion. If we're in ignorance, we need to get into passion. Getting from ignorance to goodness is a bit of a tough leap. So if we like to sleep and take intoxication, then what we should do is to try and want something. Go after something. And then when we're in passion, we can go to goodness. So it's a very important principle. If we have the wrong map, then we're in trouble. If we have the wrong coordinates, we're in trouble, because we won't go in the right direction. We won't know where we are. So sometimes people, they think they see the goal is pure devotional service. They say, oh yeah, I want to be a pure devotee. And one of the practices of pure devotional service is Raga Nuga Bhakti, which is spontaneous devotional service. Which means they dress like a gopi and they have rasa dance, right? Which is not recommended. Oh, they dress like a peacock. There are some people in Vrindavan who dress up as peacocks because their form in the spiritual, as far as they understand it, their form in the spiritual world is a peacock, and they want to practice that. But that's not recommended in the scriptures. Vaiko, you had the. Uh-huh. Yes. Oh, well, it's an allegory. So the king was tired and hungry, so he went to the palace. So when we get to, it's compared with the conscience. So if we get tired of material life, if we're lucky, we may hear our conscience. We may hear our conscience. The conscience is always there, but we may not hear it. When we're working hard, we don't hear it. But if we finally become tired, we think, why on earth am I doing this? You know, I've hurt so many people, maybe one day they'll hurt me. This is one thing about if when we have children, be careful how you treat your children, because one day you will be older. One day we will be old and they will be young, and we will be weak and they will be strong, right? So if we're nice to our children, then they'll be nice to us when we're old. If we're nasty to our children, they won't be nice to us. Well, we'll be lucky if they're nice to us when we're old. They may torture us. It does happen. So at a certain point, we may come to our senses and we think, oh my God, what have I done? And we see, this is one of the things in the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, people see their future and they go, oh no, now what am I going to do? So, and then they can turn to Krishna. Does that make sense? So if we're tired, we're tired of working, and we stop and we think, And if we're lucky, we'll think of Krishna. We'll think, at least we'll think of our welfare. What is our actual welfare? Like my father, I don't remember how the conversation went, but I said something about he's over 70 now. He's like 73 or something. And he said, "Yeah, now that you've finished working, you can look forward to something. You know, you can do something with your life." And he said, "Yeah, but what have I got to look forward to?" He's 73, you know. Right? When we're 20 and we look forward, we see, you know, we see work. But when we're 70 and we look forward, we see death. So at some point, if we're, I mean, sometimes we get lucky. We manage to come to our conscience or our intelligence or Krishna or a pure devotee or somebody who's going to tell us. I mean, that was my first experience when I went to the temple. I was it was Bhakti Ras, bless him, and he was talking about karma, reincarnation, and vegetarianism. Said if you know, if you kill an animal in your next life, it will come and kill you. I was like, excuse me, could you could you repeat that? And he talked about this whole thing, and I was like, and he said, yeah, and if you stop eating meat and become spiritual, then you might get out of it. I said, excuse me, you know, okay, so if I'm reincarnated and I don't sort this out, then I'm going to be killed by all of the animals that I've eaten. And if I do sort it out, then I won't get killed by all the animals that I've eaten. Hello, more information, please. You know, could you tell me something? So this is conscience. Bhakti Ras was my conscience. Finally, somebody came up and said, you know, you're in trouble. You better do something about it. You're still looking confused. I don't know. You're still looking confused. Conscience. Conscience means the voice in your head that says, don't do that, it's bad for you. That's the conscience. Oh, don't hurt that person, that's wrong. For some reason it's wrong. Don't do that, it's wrong. Sometimes it's the voice of our parents. Sometimes I'm boiling water, my father, I can hear my father's voice going, don't boil water because it never gets hotter than 100 degrees. There's no point in fast boiling water. Right? So I have this voice in my head that tells me that, because my father told me that. So sometimes we have intelligence. Most of the time we have to gain intelligence from other people. And that's what growing up, we have all these little young, delightful children running around, these little people. We were also those little people. Sometimes people don't talk nicely about children, but I don't understand why, because we were also, right? We were also little people, and we will become little people again if we're not careful. So, conscience is the voice in our head, so we should learn. Sometimes our parents are our conscience, sometimes our guru is our conscience. Sometimes we have enough intelligence and we can be our own conscience. And the conscience is that, but if we're too busy, the problem with a lot of material life is people don't have time to think. And my father is like that. He's a very intelligent person. He can do chemical equations in his head. After 25 years, he was at university like 25, 30 years ago. No, more than that. Anyway, something like that. 35, 40, anyway, something like that. Long time ago. And he was learning how to do chemical equations. He can still do chemical equations. If you ask him, what's that made of? He can tell you. He'll go, carbon, methane, zinc, like that. He does that. He can work it out. But if you talk about karma and reincarnation, he's totally lost. He doesn't even think about it. So he doesn't, I don't know if he has time, I mean, love him. But people don't have time to think. Or they become too dull to think. Watching television dulls the brain, you know. I don't know what television programs they watch here, but... So we should be careful not to become dull-headed. And to be able to hear the inner voice. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, vanaprastha, when someone is not building up their family life anymore, but they can retire, that's a time when they can come to their conscience. They can start. It means they can stop, and they can think. Okay, and it's interesting, but a lot of devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement seem to have taken vanaprastha very young. Right? People, they stop. 20s, even some of our kids, they're, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old, they're already taking vanaprastha. Because according to Prabhupada, vanaprastha means you stop and you think. And you come to your conscience and you think, should I do this? Is this good for me? Right? And what is good for me? Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. That's something. Okay, I better stop there. Granthrashimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.